This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
It's Donald Trump's party, and his GOP opponents can cry if they want to.
Woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country.
Mark Reardon.
We will fight hard.
Sitting in his golden palace, Mar-a-Lago, muscling other countries like he's Tony Soprano with a social media site.
Woke is bullshit.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On a picture-perfect day in St. Louis, it is absolutely beautiful, sunny. Finally, all the rain moved out. It was awful over the weekend. I hope everyone was able to survive that, especially in my neck of the woods. You know, the Merrimack is coming up. It's going to crest tomorrow, Sue. I'm sure we're going to hear about that with traffic reports at 141 and 44. The irony is this road closing that I've bitched about at my home, we couldn't get out that way for the most part anyway because of all the flooding near the horse farms. But yeah, it was nasty, wasn't it, this weekend?
It really was, and it was endless. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. I tried to weed today, as I mentioned to you two, and I'm already losing, and the leaves aren't even out on the trees.
Yeah, well, it is that time of year, and I was so glad. You know, I did a rare smart thing. I think it was on Wednesday, knowing the rain was coming. It might have even been Tuesday. I cut the lawn, and thank goodness, because I didn't have to cut double the lawn this week. Ethan, do you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend.
I guess I bypassed Fred, first of all.
Hall of Famer's got to get his due.
Exactly.
There's no pecking order.
No,
here.
There is
you
now.
Can start with
there
Ethan.
Is. Fred, how was your weekend?
It was great. Much like Sue's. You know, I did a lot of weeding. I cut the grass on Sunday and enjoyed a lot of sports.
How about Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies
How did you do it yesterday? I know that the rain had stopped, but wasn't it too wet and soggy in your yard? No?
No.
All right. Good
oh,
for you.
Wow.
Good drainage.
For you, Fred. I said, it's too much now. I'll do it tomorrow. That never pans out.
Hey, Ethan's here, too. Let me introduce Ethan here. How are you, Ethan? How was your weekend?
Oh, thanks for asking. You know, my weekend was actually it was pretty good. We celebrated my mom's birthday.
Aww.
And then Blues hockey, 12 in a row.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The Cardinals suck, Final Four. That's basically what my weekend
was. Well, that's at the top of my little page here, so let's start with all that. And let's start with the Blues, because holy cow, again they
so
do it.
So fun to watch.
They're in action tonight. I was very... I missed out on a lot of hockey this year. I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but I didn't have FanDuel until a couple of weeks ago because I finally signed up and I have it on Amazon now. So thank goodness I'm watching these games, and it was another thriller on Saturday. Now, Ethan, they're in action against Winnipeg tonight, aren't they?
Yes, Winnipeg, I think 6:30 puck drop on the road. So back on the road.
And I think that they can clinch a playoff spot, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's looking
correct.
Pretty good. Cusimano will break that down. But that was a lot of fun over the weekend. Fred, did you see it? You're a sports
guy.
Oh,
yeah,
I did. Watching
it was
it, right?
Great. Yeah.
What happened to the Cardinals? A week ago, we were sitting here. We're very optimistic. You know, they had won three in a row. They have not won three in a row now.
They had
lost.
That lost second three in a row. Game kind of looked like a football score.
Oh my gosh! Well, what did it end up? Was it 18 to something?
18-7
I gave up.
They lost on Friday 13-9, and then they lost yesterday in their 18-7 in the second one, and then they blew out the first one 5-4. And that
what
just
was
kind
Saturday?
Of screwed them over for the. It got rained out.
Oh, that's right. That's why it was the doubleheader. Yes. That's right. So, and here's what yesterday was confusing to me because did you watch the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Where did you watch it on FanDuel?
No, yes. The second one was on Sunday Night Baseball.
No, I know that, but what about the first one? Where was the first one?
On FanDuel.
I couldn't find it. See, that was the weird thing. Since it was not a regular scheduled game, I went to the Amazon, but I'm doing it differently now because I go to the Amazon app and I tried to find it and I couldn't find it, so I have no idea.
But you have an account with FanDuel now?
I have no idea. You're asking me questions that are well above my pay grade.
Listen.
No, I have it, but I have it through Amazon.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if you can still download the FanDuel app and watch them through that app if you have it.
I'll check
into
that.
Amazon.
Sounds complicated. I like just going to the Amazon.
I know.
It's very nice.
I know.
It's very easy.
It
but
can't
again,
be that easy anymore.
I searched around. I'm like, what is going on here? Why can't I find the Cardinals game? And I could never find it. But here's an interesting stat shared by our friend Scott Jennings just a short time ago, Fred. This is Josh Jacobs. Who's Josh Jacobs? He's a big MLB reporter.
Josh Jacobs is the host of the Deal in the Cards podcast. They do a great job over there. And then he also writes for Redbird Rants, I think it is.
So listen to this. I'm not an expert on the stats, Fred, but you tell me if this is good. Since 2023, Miles Michaelis boasts the second worst ERA in Major League Baseball, worst strikeout percentage, and ranks in the top five worst starters in what is it, FLP or FIP, BAA and WHIP. And yet, what is that first one there?
FIP,
matter.
I'm not sure what that one is.
And yet, he leads MLB in starts over that time. Why? Sunk cost fallacy, and the Cardinals need to put an end to it. So that's really bad. Those are really bad stats,
bad.
Right?
I tend to want to focus on the other stat, that the Cardinals are the first team in the history of Major League Baseball to have 10 hits in their first 9 games of the season.
They're the first team?
First team.
Well, wow. Look, I didn't know they were the first team. Wow. History.
I do like you emphasizing the positive because that is something that's a little different, I think, from last year. They're able to hit, and the hitting really hasn't stopped. Look, Friday when we were on the air, it was kind of encouraging because even though they kept falling behind, they even scored, I think, maybe 3 runs in the 9th inning.
Right. They did. They had the tying run at the plate.
Right, right. So, you know, that's encouraging, but boy, the bullpen has been falling apart. Helsley, didn't he walk like 3 batters?
4 in a row.
He walked 4 batters in game 1 in the 9th inning, and that was a game we were winning 4-2 going into the bottom of the 9th. And sometimes your best guy is not going to get it done. That's going to happen. It's part of the game. You know, you have blown saves on the occasion. But that in that situation specifically, it was really tough because you were playing a doubleheader. You had already used multiple guys, so it's not like you could pull him. You had to stick with your guy, and unfortunately, he wasn't able to come through, and it kind of set you up for failure in the second one with how bad Michaelis was.
So then on the basketball front, I'm watching Florida and Auburn, pretty good game, and Florida unfortunately gets it done. I was rooting for Bruce Pearl and Auburn, but Florida's not one of those teams. Man,
it was a great game.
They are so tough.
Clayton
they really are.
What, 34 points? He was unbelievable.
Walter Payton Jr., that's what I call him. Because every time I hear him say Walter Clayton Jr., and you know, I even heard who's calling the games because somebody said something and they made a juice reference.
Iron Eagle, I think.
Yeah, Iron Eagle kind of alluded to the old Walter Payton.
Did he?
Because it sounds like it, right? But that kid is unbelievable. Now, here's the other thing about Houston. You know, I kind of feel stupid. I feel stupid a lot, but Becky can verify this. A couple months ago, this goes back to December, I'm watching a game, and it was top 10 matchup. It was Houston and somebody else. Maybe it was even KU at the time. I don't know. But I watched that Houston Cougar team, and I love Calvin Sampson, the head coach.
He's amazing.
And I said, this is a team that can win it all. Absolutely, they can win it all. But what was interesting is I'm watching the game on, I hate Duke. Like, can we just agree we all hate Duke?
We all hate Duke.
Thank you.
But I wanted to see Cotton do well. Yeah.
Apologies to those of you who went to Duke or whatever, but we hate Duke. Just because they're so successful.
It's okay. They'll have the Yankees to fall back on in a couple months here.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm watching the game, and I watched the whole game, and then Duke gets like an 8 or 9 point lead with 3 minutes left. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to see them win this game. So I turn on a show. I happen to pause whatever I'm watching. Becky and Alexa were upstairs. I go upstairs. The TV is on. And it's a 1-point game, and Houston's got the lead. So I watched the last 30 seconds, but honestly, I walked away from that game, and I saw some sort of stat, like with 3 minutes left, they had something like a 1.2% chance of winning that game based on the 8 or 9 point lead, And I don't even know how they did it because I missed the the last 3 minutes up to the 30-second mark.
So Go ahead.
I have the stat here. So with 8 minutes left, they led by 14.
14? Yeah, that's probably when I turned it off, right there.
With 2 minutes and 6 seconds left, they led by 9. With 34 seconds left, they were up by 6. With 25, they were down by 3. And with 19 seconds left, they were up by 1, and they ended up falling in this. Houston has very strong defense. That's the name of their game. That's their strength. They forced a couple of turnovers on inbounds. They hit a couple of shots, and all of a sudden they got a little bit of a generous over the back call. They hit a couple of free throws to take the lead, and they get Duke on their final possession, gave it to the best player in the country, Cooper Flagg, and he missed a shot off the front rim, and that was the game.
Yeah. Wow. Well, look, I'm a little bit in a pickle tonight because I just don't like Florida, but I don't want to root against the SEC. So I don't. What should I do, Ethan? How can you guide me into this?
If you like Kelvin Sampson, you like the way that they play.
I do like
Kelvin. With Houston. Because going into the tournament, out of all the one seeds, they were the one I was like, I don't know. They're the least talented out of all the four. I had them losing, I think, in the Sweet 16. So I had them getting upset relatively early. But I mean, it's not entirely a Cinderella because they're one,
right?
But compared to the other three, I mean, the comeback against Duke. I'm on the Houston train right now.
Look, we're gonna find out, and I think that Florida is a really tough team, and I think if I had to pick tonight, Florida is gonna win because they keep proving me wrong. They're behind. They come from behind all the time. They never give up, and you know Walter Clayton Jr. is just one of those playmakers. That kid's incredible.
It was killing me because I was at a trivia night Saturday night, so I couldn't see the Final Four games, and I couldn't see the Blues game. But two of my players at our table, Greg and Dave, each had their cell phones.
There you go.
Throughout the entire event, they had the Final Four games on one phone and the Blues on the other. So I did get to see it, but just not as pay as close attention.
How'd the trivia night go, Fred?
Well, we came in second. We were just beaten by 2 points.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It was a lot of fun.
Say?
Raised money for the Down Syndrome Association and for a group called TASC in Fenton, which helps special needs kids.
Very good.
Well, we could have started, and I suppose if you just put the weekend talk aside and everything about the Cardinals and the Blues and the Final Four, we're kind of where we were when we left on Friday. You don't have any money left in your portfolio, but it wasn't as bad as maybe it could have been today. And here's what's interesting. The NASDAQ was actually up 15 points. We started the day, and I was already getting text messages yesterday from the people who hate Trump. Oh, look at the market futures, blah, blah, blah. So it opened, and you were probably watching this morning.
Right.
It was up pretty quickly, up like 500 points. Well, that didn't last long. I thought I looked at it wrong. About a half an hour later, it was into negative territory. It tried to climb back. Now, I think in the end, it was down 300 points today, but we're going to kind of talk people through this as we get through this afternoon. I'll tell you that Batyangar Sargon is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, and she is on fire about this. And one of her points is, look, if you voted for economic change, well, you're getting it, and mm-hmm. there's going to be some pain along the way, and perhaps that's what's happening right now. I'm still going to be a little patient because I want to see where the market's going to be at the end of the week. I think there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and here's Kevin Hassett talking about some of this stuff. Kevin was here just a couple of years ago at the Show Me Institute. I was there that night for his speech. He's a real, real smart money guy. He was kind of explaining the possibilities when it came to what might happen next.
If they come to us with really great deals that advantage American manufacturing and American farmers, I'm sure he'll listen. But in the end, it's President Trump that's going to decide when a deal is good enough. And I think it's interesting that so many countries are lining up.
I was like, Kevin Hassett's got that voice where he says, you know, it sounds a little like something like that. But he's the director of the National Economic Council of the U.S. And he talks about the importance of the numbers here and the debt.
How influential would the U.S. be if it were bankrupt? Let me tell you, if we had 4 more years of Joe Biden's behavior, Joe Biden's policies, we probably would have been very close to bankruptcy. And that's why we're coming at it with everything we've got to fix the economy of the 4 years that President Trump
all
has.
Right. And then there's Scott Bessent. I'll kind of leave with this. We're going to have Charles Lipson here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Dave Simons, the host of Dollars and Cents over at KMOX, in the next hour. He'll have a lot to say about the market and how worried we should be. Kusumano is going to be here in the 4:45 segment to talk some sports. I mentioned Batya and also Jeff Rainford because the city election is tomorrow. Let me kind of, I don't want to pass this over. This is too important. So before I get to one more thing here, I'll skip Scott Bessent. We'll talk about him a little bit later because I think the election tomorrow is important. Now, Sue, you'll love this. This is what I saw. I clicked on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch article about the race today, and here's the quote. You ready from this?
I'm ready.
From Tashara Jones. Now, keep in mind, I mentioned this on the roundtable. I can't credit the person here because this was kind of an off-the-record conversation, but somebody that kind of works with people in the city and knows a lot of the players and stuff, and out to dinner last week having a conversation about all this stuff, and the prediction from this person was... She's going to just lose her, you know what, the wig is going to come off.
That's been our favorite quote.
I know. So I had the Greg Keller almost spit soda out of his nose when I said that on the roundtable. But here's a little precursor to that because here's what she's saying now. Can you imagine being held to such a high standard that you're never allowed to make an error to mess up? I can barely do this without laughing, swear to God. Oh, that you're never allowed to pivot and do something differently when you discover something that isn't working? Here's the money line here. Ready? Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the existence of a black woman mayor. She had to get woman in there, too, even though they can't define woman. It's not just black mayor. It's black woman mayor. I feel badly for Tashara. She's just had all these obstacles in her way. She's not made any mistakes. It's not like she hasn't been in the city addressing the needs on a regular basis and wasn't off gallivanting literally around the world.
Yes.
Not addressing business here. It's not as if we've had fences around City Hall and Pelker Park, which is located right across the street from my building, for a year and a half. I mean, this is going to be so fun to watch. Tomorrow, Kara Spencer is going to win. I think it's going to be pretty overwhelming. Now, the other race to watch is Donna Behringer, and that's going to be a lot closer because Donna did beat Darlene Green, but it was a handful of votes.
Yeah, it was.
And this is an important race, too, because she has a very, very key role in, you know, the Board of Apportionment and how the Board of Aldermen make decisions on how to spend the money in the city. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow. People need to vote. Donna was texting me yesterday. She said, make sure anyone that you know in the city will get out and vote. I said, anyone that I know in the city is essentially anyone you know in the city.
That's true.
And I think they probably voted for you already, right?
And I'm telling you, they've been hitting it hard. We've had people at the door. I've been looking out the camera at who's at the door, and it's a lot of stuff for vote for so-and-so for mayor. That's pretty much all that's going on in South City.
Well, I got a lot. We're going to take a break because we have Charles coming up, but there is a lot of great stuff tonight. I have audio from this disc golfer, female disc golfer, who refused along the lines of the fencer last week to face a male opponent, which was awesome. There are big anti-Trump demonstrations that are going. The resistance is kicking in New York City today. You have... you know, all the things. Oh, I got a great bite from Jennings on the Easter Bunny. So we got a lot going on today. We're going to get to it all on a Monday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there. We're off and running.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, as Sue has just reported, that area underneath 44 at 141, because of the flooding of the Merrimack, has been shut down. The river, I think, is expected to crest tomorrow, so it may be closed down for more than 24 hours, right? For those people who live in that area, we kind of knew it was coming.
You know, we did.
You get used to it to a certain extent, but we appreciate the very latest on that. That's going to create a little bit of a problem. People want to get around. It's good that they know now, because if you get that big line of traffic, either northbound or southbound, that's probably not going to go well for folks. But Sue will keep you updated on everything. Don't forget, we have a Monday edition of Sue's News in the next hour. Dave Simons is going to be here to talk about tariffs. And on the topic of tariffs, here's the president last night on Air Force One.
Because of the tariffs, we have $7 trillion already committed to be invested in the United States, building auto plants, building chip companies, and all sorts of companies are coming into our country at levels that we've never seen before. Those tariffs next year will make us $1 trillion. In addition to the $1 trillion, thousands of companies are going to relocate back into the United States.
So that's the promise that he's been making. And he was asked, even by reporters, would you consider a little pause here?
Would you be open to a pause in tariffs to allow for negotiations?
Well, we're not looking at that. We have many, many countries that are coming to negotiate deals with us, and they're going to be fair deals. And in certain cases, they're going to be paying substantial tariffs. There'll be fair deals.
So I made it clear last week, I'm in the camp that is a little jittery about all this, but willing to give some of this time. One of the issues that I had, and we highlighted this, I think, on Thursday, probably talked about on the roundtable as well, is that these are not reciprocal tariffs. That these are not reciprocal. That's one of the issues I would have, that they're not the same tariffs. So I'm not sure. The math is a little funky here from the administration. Charles Lipson is here, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. He writes, of course, for The Spectator at Real Clear Politics and more. His columns are available free at charleslipson.com. Do you share my anxiety? How are you on this Monday? How's your portfolio? All those things, Charles. How are you?
Hey, I'm smart enough not to look at my portfolio.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, it was weird. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, it was up. You know, the market was up today. Ends up closing down a few hundred points. The NASDAQ was up. So there were mixed signals, though, I think, that were being sent across the globe this morning.
That's right. Let me let me try to say something that's a little different from what your listeners have already heard. They've heard Trump saying, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And they've heard a lot of economists, I would say it's almost uniform, saying, oh, this is the worst thing ever. So what's really going on, I think, is that people can't tell if Trump is trying to create a world in which there would be essentially an isolationist U.S. On its own bottom, or whether he is trying to use that as a threat to get others to lower their tariffs.
Could be a little of both, though, couldn't it?
Absolutely right. That's exactly right. But it's important to understand that if he is using it as a threat, that he would never indicate that he was anything other than perfectly happy to have other countries not come back. Now, I think China's a not come back and just retaliate themselves.
Right. I got you.
Okay. But I think China is a different issue because I think China is a case where he views them, I think correctly, as an enemy. And an enemy that has gotten rich off of the United States. So he's not all that interested in striking a deal with China. He would like to see that production move to Vietnam, which has come immediately to try to strike a deal, or some other countries. But the key thing, so I think your listeners have already heard most of that. I think what they should also hear is that this is a game, I mean a game in the technical sense,
sure.
You know, a game theory. This is a game in which the winner is the one who can outlast the other. So it's like a diet. Can you hang on long enough to get the weight off? You know.
Well, the weight is significant because let me go to that issue. I saw a couple of posts today. When you look at the budget deficits, just those alone. So if you go to 2017, it was $665 billion. By 2019, it was $984 billion. By 2020, it was $3.1 trillion. That's because of COVID. And then under Biden, it's $2.8 trillion in 21, $1.3 in 2022, $1.69 in 23, and $1.8 in 2024. Then you look at the trade deficit numbers. This kind of puts it into perspective. If you go back to 2005, we were down with the the unevenness, if you will, $318 billion. Then you get to 2009, where it's $1.4 trillion. Some of this goes down over the course of the years up to 2019. But then you get to, you know, the last 4 years, $3.1 trillion, $2.7, $1.3, $1.6, $1.8 trillion that were underwater on this trade deficit. So those are the numbers that you're trying to affect here.
These are unsustainable numbers.
Right.
And I think one of the themes, the key themes of the Trump administration is that so much of what we've been doing is unsustainable and that there have to be very basic changes in the way we're going about our business or we won't, we'll have a catastrophe. And so I do think he's right about that. Now, I would say the reason that Biden's deficits, and I'm talking about specifically the budget deficits, were so large, is not just that Democrats are big spenders, but they've run out of ideas. They simply don't know anything other than spending now. Their basic idea was to create essentially a social democracy, what Europe has, within America. And that began really ideologically under Franklin Roosevelt, but it became a big deal under Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society programs. And Barack Obama put the last portion of it into place with the Affordable Care Act, so-called. And the problem is that now they've done essentially everything they wanted to do. What are their big ideas?
They don't have any. They do not have any. That's what's interesting about the complaints right now about trying to, you know, do something about this. I think most of the American people realize that this is a financial cliff that, you know, we don't want to fall off of, and there's only a handful of ways that you can really address it right now, and the tariffs is one of the ways. The question then is, how much economic pain are we kind of willing to go through here, you know, to get the Band-Aid back on, or at least to fix some of this? Now, I have Batyangar Sargon, one of our good contributors, along with you, Charles, on the show in a couple hours, and one of her points is, look, you know, there's a choice that's being made here.
Do you know, it's so amazing. This morning on one of the liberal channels, I saw a Democrat congressman, and he was just sitting there saying, I have no idea why President Trump is doing this. They simply cannot understand why he is implementing the tariffs, because the answer is simple. He is choosing Main Street over Wall Street.
And he sort of promised that he would do that. You know, he's certainly doing things that in theory would appeal to working class Americans and have benefits for them. But here's where I'm nervous, Charles. If this math doesn't work out, if we're crashing the market to get the Fed to reduce rates, if we're in a recession, the pain could be a little longer than we would anticipate. And that's what I think makes a lot of people nervous right now.
I think you're exactly right. I attended a meeting, 25-30 Republicans in Chicago. I always tell them they constitute the entire Republican Party in Chicago, 25 or 30. But there were a lot of nervous people there. There were some people nervous because ideologically they're free traders. But I think most of the people were nervous because they just don't know if it'll work out. It's not so much the pain in the markets, but even if the markets were only down a little bit, they just think that this may very well not work out. But I think that you're already seeing more and more countries come to the table and
right.
say, we can't. And all of the small countries have to come to the table. None of them can stand being held out of the American market.
Well, and that's fine. For me, that's why at least a little bit of patience is warranted here for a couple of weeks to see how this, you know, sort of shakes out. I got a text message from a friend over the weekend, and I thought this was interesting. And I do think that this is representative of where a lot of people are, Charles. It said this: I'm not trying to sound like a pessimist here. Maybe it's because I'm not as connected to the news as I used to be, and I'm not completely aware of what's going on. And the tariff stuff is complicated, let's face it. But Trump said before he got elected that prices would go down on goods. And if anything, it seems like all these tariffs he's imposing on countries are just pissing them off more and prices are going up. What's the deal? And they said, and listen, I voted for the guy and want to believe he's doing good now, but right now I don't know what to believe. And that's part of the issue, is you don't know what to believe.
I think that's right. I would say this about prices. Prices will go up, but this is not one of those things where it's a sustained price rise because of the tariffs. This is a one-shot deal. Now, it may take 6 months or something like that for it to work its way through as the supply chains get adjusted, but raising tariffs is not like pumping more and more money into the economy, in which inflation continues month after month, year after year. And that's what was happening during the Biden administration, as the Federal Reserve was essentially trying to fund what Joe Biden's overspending. I think that the tariffs are not only important, but it's absolutely crucial that what Doge and Elon Musk are doing really bite in to the overspending. I would say also that this big beautiful bill that Trump is advocating is likely to run very large deficits unless there is a very quick and large pop to the economy as a result of it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think they're aware of that, which is why some of this is happening right now. I want to go back to my point, and we made this last week. It seems like the promise was reciprocal tariffs, but doesn't seem like that's what's happening right now, and the numbers don't really match up. So that's one of the things that's confusing for me. Now, I'll be the first to admit that this is complicated, Charles, and it's very hard to understand. But it looks like the Trump administration is now charging other countries more than they charge the U.S. So where does the reciprocal part of that come in?
Well, first of all, when we use a term tariffs, we're using it loosely. A tariff is a tax at the border. It's kind of like a sales tax. But there are a lot of other trade barriers. For example, there's a country may say you have to comply with certain rules that our domestic producers don't have to. You can only import so many cars or whatever, and our domestic producers are not subject to that, of course. So there are a lot of trade barriers, and I do not know how they've calculated, but the important point, even if the tariffs are higher on these countries, that they are going to have to come to the U.S. to negotiate because of the importance of the market. And the countries that may not do that are the ones that are kind of that have themselves very large markets and can impose reciprocal tariffs that hurt us. And the only countries that are like that are really China and the EU. Maybe some countries like Canada can impose tariffs and so forth on energy. But basically, the whole world is going to have to start negotiating with Trump, and it could be that we'll end up with lower tariffs all around, even though the threat is to raise them.
Well, and you know, this is where I get confused, though, and maybe this is going to work itself out this week. On Friday, when he was talking about some of this, he gives India as an example. India, he says, is charging us 52%, and we almost charge nothing. So they impose the tariffs, and the information that I have says that the weighted tariffs on imports was 7.5% or 7.7%, and the average was 15.9%. Well, that's not 52%. So again, if it's reciprocal, it seems like it's well over and above. And by the way, he's got a good relationship with the, you know, the Prime Minister of. Yeah, right. So again, let's see where this is in a week or a couple of weeks. Again, the market was very interesting today, the way it fluctuated. Obviously, any bit of information is going to turn it in a certain direction. I have my friend Dave Simons coming on in the next hour to kind of explain a lot of that. But Charles, appreciate your insight on this Monday. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure, Mark.
That's Charles Lipson. You can find him at charleslipson.com. Sue and I were just talking about disc golfing. I've never tried this because this is so embarrassing. I can't really even throw a frisbee the correct way. I guess I should. Well, I mean, I could do it a couple of times, yeah. But I can't do it to the point where you're, you know, aiming at a target and you're playing like you are a game of golf. We have a lot of great courses. It's my understanding. The reason I know this is because I have some friends in Colombia that are very involved, even in the PDGA. The PDGA is the Professional Disc Golfers Association.
Wow.
They're at play here because here's what happened over the weekend. You had a professional female disc golfer that took a stand and refused to take on a male opponent.
Yeah, baby.
Females must be protected by our division. This is unfair. I refuse to play.
Yeah, you can kind of hear Natalie Ryan there, who I guess. Natalie Ryan. I'm sorry. I'm reversing the names. Natalie Ryan is actually the trans participant here, but that is, let me just get the name right here, because that is Ms. Wilson, I think. And she walked up there and she decided, look, I'm not going to do this right now. This was in Nashville at the Music City Open. She shared the Instagram video from last week. It happened on Friday. This is on the heels of what happened with, Stephanie Turner with the transgender opponent in Maryland on USA Fencing. But this is Abigail Wilson. Here's Dan Dockage. I love Dan. He's on Outkick. He was on Fox this morning.
You can go along if you want, you know, the old go along to get along, that kind of thing. But this is a serious issue for women. And I'll tell you why. Their opportunities are being taken away. This isn't discrimination. This isn't anything that the liberals are telling you. This is simply women protecting women's sports. And I have said this all along. I've said, look, I want to be inclusive. I want people to play. If you are a man transitioning to a woman or a woman transitioning to a man, why do both groups play against women? There's no law for this. There's no rule book for this. So just simply say anybody transitioning must go play with the men. And it solves the problem.
He's right.
But we don't do that. Now women have to take themselves out of competitions to prove a point or to stand up, and that's just not right.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
It is. Now, what you couldn't hear and what Abigail did, she says, females must be protected in our division. This is unfair. I refuse to play. So she picks up her belongings. She walks away. She put this on Instagram on Friday, and she put the message that females deserve to have their gender-protected division to be protected. This is unfair. It's every time I do this story. We had Jen Say on Thursday. Every single time I talk about Riley Gaines, I think we all do. We sit here and scratch our heads and say, how is this even an issue?
Exactly.
How is this something that we're debating in this country when 90% of people see how flawed and unfair this is? Even the golden child in the Democratic Party, Gavin Newsom, right?
And exactly. The entire reason Title IX was created was so that women would just compete against women. Natural-born women against female versus female, and anything else just is convoluted. And if you are male, you have a physical advantage. That's just it.
So Abigail might lose her whole deal with the organization here, and she's got sponsors. But she said, I've worked so hard to get to this point to play in the DGPT, but the sacrifice of my career and my hard work is worth it if it means I can make a difference for other women, daughters, nieces, and the future of our sport. Oh. If you feel how wrong it is to have biological males to competing in female-protected divisions, now is the time to speak up and stand your ground. I love this, and here's why. Remember what we said with Jen last week, and I mention this all the time. There is not a prominent female athlete who has come out and done this. Now, in 1 week, we have had someone in USA Fencing and someone in the Professional Disc Golf Association. Those are still minor playing fields. My hope is, and it's going to take someone who has a lot of sponsorship money and is not going to have to worry about this. But there is going to come a time where someone's going to say, look, I have to take a stand. And whether they're a WNBA player, that's very unlikely. Let's face it. I don't know. Maybe it's a tennis player or somebody else, because we've had Martina Navratilova, retired players out there do this. But hopefully something's going to happen and this will even get more attention. In the meantime, good for Abigail, good for Stephanie Turner, taking really, really strong stands here and doing the right thing. And by the way, we're told constantly by people on the left, oh, this doesn't even affect people. Just in 1 weekend, I have another track meet in Oregon where a biological male has taken a title from a girl. We have the situation with USA Fencing. We have what happened in Nashville. It's happening on a regular basis, and it happens more in states outside of Missouri. It probably happens more in Illinois than it does here in Missouri because of the laws being different. But that's outrageous. Good for Abigail Wilson. Good for Stephanie Turner. Some really positive moves along that direction. Sue's News is coming up in the next hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.